All right, you can join me in 2 Timothy. We're on to chapter 2 now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're just going to take the first two verses here. So, and it's not super complicated. We don't have a whole lot of deep explanation to look at. Just some... A couple of commands and some things that I'd like for us to contemplate for ourselves, and then we'll move on with the evening. So how does that sound? I really enjoyed the ladies' special this morning. I was this close to asking them to do it again. And who knows, I might still, but probably not. That's kind of one of those things that they used to do. When I was growing up, my dad, even as he led the singing, he would decide he wanted to pick a few people to come up and do a special on the spot. And he would just pick them and say, come on up here and open up the hymn book, and they would sing a song. And he did that a couple of times. And I'm glad he never picked me, because I probably would have fainted or thrown up or something like that from fear. So I won't do that to you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1 and just verse 2, 1 and 2 there, says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So pretty basic text, I guess, if you could call it basic, pretty normal. Based on what we've already talked about, based on Paul's pointing out this man called Onesiphorus. It's a long name to say, but he came and found Paul. He ministered to Paul. He has been a real blessing to Paul. And he contrasts that with Hermogenes and Phugelus. And those two were not good. Those two basically abandoned Paul. And based on those examples, Paul says, you, therefore, based on these examples of good and bad, you do something in light of that. And he calls him my son. And we've talked about that a couple of times already in this book and in 1 Timothy. Timothy is very dear to Paul, very much a son to him in spirit, a spiritual son, a child to him. So when we think of Paul and Timothy's relationship, Paul really, really has a lot of concern for Timothy and really pours himself into Timothy. Paul doesn't write to any other person. He writes to churches and to groups and areas, but Timothy is his man. He wants to make sure that Timothy is prepared for his passing off the scene, which is in his mind as he writes this. Paul understands that his end is coming, and he wants Timothy to be ready. And the more I read and study this letter, the more I'm getting convinced that Paul is concerned for Timothy, not just that he would do well, but I believe he's concerned for Timothy, and Timothy is struggling. I think he is concerned that Timothy has not quite gotten to the point of moving on his own. And I could be wrong, I could have it wrong, but just as much as Paul throughout this letter encourages and commands Timothy to be strong, to endure, he really, I believe Paul, is, if I can use this word, I don't think Paul worried a lot, but I think he's a little bit worried for Timothy. Worried that Timothy won't endure, won't be able to handle the pressures that he's going to face. And he's constantly encouraging him to strengthen himself, to be strong, and to endure suffering, to join in the suffering. I don't think Timothy has quite committed to the suffering that Paul is enduring, and he's calling him to do that. Now, I'm not saying Timothy is about to be disqualified from ministry or anything like that. I just think Paul is very concerned for Timothy's longevity in the ministry. And he writes, you therefore, based on these people, some have abandoned me, some have supported me. Based on that, I want you to be encouraged to continue to support me, continue to be strong even in the light of suffering. And really what we're going to look at is not just to be strong, but to engage in forward momentum in the ministry. That is discipleship. To not just be okay yourself, but to pour yourself into others and let them move on as well. To actually move the ministry forward. Sometimes I think we can get a little bit like, if I can just survive, then that's good enough. And sometimes some days are like that, where you just want to make it through the day. What Paul is going to encourage him with is, let's actually, yes, be okay yourself, but then move forward and pour yourself into some others as well. And so Paul gives these examples for Timothy to gain some motivation from both of those. And we know that Paul is suffering, and he wants Timothy to be okay with suffering as well, and actually to purposefully make the decision to join in that suffering. That is not a fun thing to do. It's not something you relish to have somebody say, hey, things are real bad for me. Can you come join me in this real bad activity that I'm engaged in? This hardship that I have. We like to be, help people when they've won the lottery. That's the kind of help if you need a hand with all that money, let me help you out. When people are suffering, we don't want to be brought down by that, or oftentimes we want to distance ourselves from hardship, but that's the opposite of what Paul is calling Timothy to do. Join in the hardship. Get involved in the hardship and the suffering and difficulty. And in this first command in verse 1, to be strong is really to be growing in grace. And that's, we only have 2 points. And so the first point is to be growing in grace. This is a present thing, to be doing this. And the word strong there is a passive word. The idea is to be strengthened, or be being strengthened constantly. It's the same word, if you'll flip over in chapter 4, at the last part of the chapter, in verse 17, he talks about being abandoned by all of these at his hearing. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's the same idea that he's encouraging Timothy with, is to be strengthened. And this is not a physical thing. We think of strength as being able to bear under this. This is an emotional thing. This is a spiritual thing for Timothy to endure. Something where you would want to give up if you were in this situation. Under pressure, we respond in different ways. And what he's saying is, you need to be strengthened, not just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just get after it. This is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This grace, or this favor, is what gives us the power, the ability to endure hardship, to endure difficult things. This grace that comes with a relationship with Christ, that's where it comes from. It's directly related to our relationship with Christ and our proximity to Christ. It's going to strengthen us to continue to be faithful when it's tempting not to be faithful. It's tempting to slack or to when things get hard, we may not slack. We might just trust something else other than the Lord. Sometimes we trust ourselves. Sometimes we trust other people. Sometimes we just hope and trust in the government, and that's sort of laughable, but people do this. They trust in other things other than Christ, other than the Lord, and what Paul is encouraging Timothy here with is to be strengthened in this grace that's found in Christ. Sometimes if I'm struggling, I can go to worst case scenarios. I don't know if you've ever done this. It's a common occurrence in my household. If there's an issue, then it's the worst issue, and it's probably going to be really bad. And it almost, well, from my perspective, it almost never is. And my perspective is skewed because I see the world a little differently, a little more rose-colored. It's not so bad. I could probably lose my hand, and I'd be like, yes, not that bad. It'll be all right. And it's just the way I think until it's not. Sometimes we go to worst case scenarios. Sometimes we go to what I can do. What can I do to fix this problem, fix this thing? What people can I talk to? What things can I manipulate to make this better? And sometimes there's a place for that. Sometimes we need to rearrange our schedules, but oftentimes we just need to trust the Lord and to be strengthened in His grace and go to Him rather than looking at what we can do. Oftentimes when I'm struggling, I go to blaming others. Whose fault is this? If they had not done this thing, then we wouldn't be dealing with this. If this person had followed through on their promise, then we wouldn't be dealing with this. And that's not helpful. How much fixing is being done when you're blaming other people? That's not going to help the struggle. It's not going to help the improvement. And then sometimes we just want to give up. Sometimes when we're struggling, we just want to say, you know what? Have at it. I'm going to go do something else. And you can have pastors that do this, that say, look, if you guys want to do this, I'll find a different church. I'll find somebody else that likes me or whatever. And you can do this at your job. You know what? This is hard. Have at it. Now, there are times where a move needs to happen, and that takes wisdom and prayer. But if that is your reaction to hardship is, no, thank you, I'm going to go somewhere else, then you're never going to find a place that doesn't have hardship. You're not going to find a place that doesn't take any strength. And he's not encouraging Timothy to go find a place that's easier. He's encouraging Timothy to remind himself of the grace of God and to let that bolster his strength, bolster his motivation to continue to be faithful to the ministry that God has given him. God and Moses encouraged Joshua with this same idea. And I actually have a little plaque on my desk that quotes Joshua 1:9. Listen as I read it. It says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why would Joshua be afraid or dismayed or lack courage? He had a huge thing in front of him, huge project, and he had about a million people that have a track record of being terrible. A real pain to Moses, and now Joshua has to lead these people that murmur and complain all the time. And they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. You think how much these folks have struggled And now Joshua is supposed to lead them into this land that is filled with enemy that wants to kill them. And their job is to rid this land of these people and take this over. It is going to be a hard, arduous task that is going to take decades. That's why Joshua needed some encouragement. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. How? How are you going to do that? By remembering the last part of the verse, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Remember who is with you. That's how you're going to have the motivation, emotional and spiritual motivation to keep moving, is to understand who is with you. And it is not a person. We love to have people around us, but it is the Lord himself who will not abandon us, who will not forsake us. Another example of this is Hezekiah, when he's faced with Sennacherib and this enemy that has obliterated all of his other enemies, and now they've laid siege to Hezekiah and the Israelites. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, he's telling the people, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him." There is a multitude of people. They are a strong army. He says, "For there be more with us than with him." What does he mean? Does that mean the Israelites' army was so much bigger and stronger than Sennacherib's? No. What he says in the next verse is, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. The Lord is with us. He is our God to help us. He is going to fight our battles. He is going to take care of us. That's where you have to go back every time when you're struggling. Who's going to take care of you? It's the Lord himself. And sometimes you have to go back to that idea moment by moment. Because it's not like a fix. Okay, Monday morning, I'm going to put my faith in the Lord and I'm good all week. I don't have to worry about that all week. That's not how it goes. If things are hard, then Monday morning you might have to do this. And then Monday morning at 8:30 you might have to do this. And then again at 10 o'clock. And then again at lunchtime. It goes with what Paul is telling Timothy. Be being strengthened constantly. In the present, be strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. This grace that is in proximity with Christ, that's where you're going to find the motivation. And again, this is an emotional thing. I told you that on Friday, I was most of the day digging in this hole in my yard, trying to find this water leak. And I still haven't found it, but we're getting closer, I think. But I understood a little bit about my emotional state as I was digging in this hole in the mud. And I kind of went out in the morning, the family's still sleeping, whatever, I'm digging out here, and I hated it. It was really terrible. I grunted loudly, okay, to myself, with nobody else around, out of frustration that I'm digging in these roots, in this mud. I don't know if you've ever dug in sticky mud before, but you get a shovel full and you try to dump it and it sticks to the shovel. That just boils me. I just hate that. This is what I'm doing here. I can't stand it. I want to take a break or whatever. I haven't done much enough to take a break, but I want to take a break. So I go inside and I understand, and I share this with my wife, that really all I needed was for her to come out as a little wife and not work. I didn't want her help in the dirt, in the mud. I just wanted her to say, "Look how strong you are. Look how awesome you are. You're doing such, man, that looks like such hard work." And I didn't want to ask her to do that, okay? Because that makes me feel weak. But I did it anyway. I asked her to do that. I told her, look, I just need you to come out and tell me that I'm doing a great job, okay? And don't come out right now because, you know, give me a few minutes to get dirty again. And then she came out, oh, you're doing a great job. And that was the motivation I needed. And also the boys came out and they helped dig around and at least talk to me. And I was able to actually spend multiple hours out there after that motivation, after that encouragement. Now, that's a stupid illustration, but that is the kind of thing that we're dealing with. It's not that I didn't have the strength to dig a hole. The strength was there. The motivation was not. And she was able to provide that emotional motivation to stay up under that load, to endure the hardship. And when we talk about grace, getting grace from the Lord in a difficult time, Pastor Scott has talked about grace all throughout the year. How do we get grace? How do we access it? So often we access it through each other. You can be a conduit of God's grace to somebody else just by telling them, you're doing great, or I'm praying for you, I'm supporting you, what can I do for you? That can be enough to let somebody, motivate somebody to make it another day, to go a little bit longer. We are agents of God's grace, and we share that. So often, I think we, for some reason, we don't share encouragement the way we should. And we've talked about this a little bit. We've talked about this in Sunday school in the past, and kind of came up with this phrase, if you think it, then say it. If you think an encouraging thought about somebody, then why in the world would you not tell them? Who doesn't want to be told you're doing okay, you're doing great, you're going to make it? Thank you for what you did, or I appreciate what you how you did this thing over here, or whatever it is. If it occurs to you that somebody has done something nice, then tell them about it. That kind of thing will give people encouragement to keep going, to keep enduring, to keep the struggle. And you may not even know that they are struggling. You might just think, you know what? They helped me out. Thank you for that. That was such a big blessing. And they're over there really struggling, and that gives them just enough motivation to keep going. That is how we can be conduits of God's grace, by just encouragement. Very simple. But what he's telling Timothy here, continue to be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, in the proximity with him, understanding the Lord is with you and he's going to take care of you. And then number two, so the first one was be growing in grace. And then the second command here is be developing disciples. This is where it's not just, okay, survive, but move forward. Move the ministry of the gospel forward, even in hard times. Sometimes when it's difficult, we just want to hunker down. All right, we're going to make it through this time, and then we'll like do some expansion once it gets easier. That's not the time for expansion. The time for expansion is now, is always. Discipleship making is now. And he says in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. What is this entrusted thing? The thing that you've heard of me. What are you supposed to be committing to faithful men or entrusting to these people? It's the things that you've heard of me. He doesn't say specifically, just my teachings, the gospel, the stuff I have said in the presence of all of these people. You've heard it among other people. You know the message that I preach. That's the thing that you entrust to these faithful people. the teaching and preaching that you've heard of me, that's the thing that you propagate. That's the things that you teach. We teach the scriptures, and we continue to pour that into people's hearts and minds, and then they have the responsibility then to keep that going, to keep the chain. We all are linked in a chain of people who do this. Your life as a believer, if you are a believer, and I expect you are, you're here worshiping the Lord, hopefully, you have been affected by previous believers. You haven't been necessarily affected by Paul personally, other than through his writings. Paul didn't call you up and encourage you to be a believer. Somebody Paul talked to, who talked to somebody else, who talked to somebody else, who talked to somebody else, thousands of years throughout the history of the church, then talked to you. That's how we are connected through this. And it is our responsibility to continue that chain, to continue to minister to the people around us. It is going to be one of the, I think, huge blessings of heaven in eternity, is finding the connections of all believers and how our lives are so intertwined with, it's like a web or a net of believers over all of history that are connected. We are connected to Paul himself through his ministry to others and through the ministry chain that has come down through the years. And we continue that. The things that we learn from the scriptures, we teach. That has been entrusted to us, then to pass that on. And especially pastors, ministers. He's talking to Timothy, who is a pastor. It is his responsibility as a leader to keep that going. And it's really all of our responsibilities as part of the Great Commission to teach, make disciples. Teach them everything that we know and everything that we can learn from the scriptures. So you entrust these things in the presence of these things that you've heard, in the presence of these ministers, these witnesses. And then who is supposed to be entrusted? Let's look at this. Who are you supposed to commit this to? He says to faithful men. The word men is anthropos. It's the general term for people, mankind. And he's basically encouraging Timothy, look, you've got to teach some faithful people who have some qualifications. These people are trustworthy. That's what it means to be faithful. They can be trusted. They're trusty people. They can be relied on. You can commit the gospel. You can entrust them with the gospel truth and know that they're going to handle it correctly. Find people like that and pour into them. There's another qualification for them, and that is they're able to teach others also. Somebody who is apt to teach. Now, this is for Timothy as a leader in the church to find people who are faithful, reliable, and who will be able to continue this, to continue to teach. Now, not everybody is necessarily apt to teach, able to teach. Not everybody is made to be a Sunday school teacher. I believe everybody has some ability to teach. Mothers, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or not, you teach your kids. Whether you know it or not, you're teaching them something. Fathers are the same. You don't have to sit down and, okay, here's the instruction time. Here's 1 Timothy, and we're going to learn this. That you are teaching them by your life. You're teaching them by your attitude. You're teaching them by your actions. We all, like Timothy, are supposed to model what this looks like. What does it look like to be a trustworthy believer and then pour ourselves into the people around us. The Lord has placed in our lives the people He has ordained us to interact with. And it is our responsibility then to look around and minister. Minister to the people that God has placed in your life. The people in my life are different from the people in yours. Obviously, we have overlap, but you have contact with people I don't even know. And I have contact with people you've never met and you never will meet. We each have our sphere of influence that we are responsible for. Are we going to be faithful people, people who are trustworthy? We have the truth. Are we going to be good stewards of that truth and pour that into others? Sometimes we don't know if who we're teaching are going to be faithful. Sometimes they're not faithful right now, and maybe they will be in the future. I would suggest that we don't just go around looking for people. Are you a good teacher? And are you going to be faithful from now on? And then only teach them. I think we need to be very free with who we are discipling, who we are helping and instructing, and to minister to those. And I believe the Lord will work out who the faithful ones are and who the ones that are apt to teach, and they move on. Now, a pastor probably does need to be a little bit more like, okay, I have a limited ability to pour myself into somebody. I need to find a group. This is really my idea behind our squad leaders with our men, the mighty men. It is not practical for me to have to be the leader of five or six different groups of men in the church. It is much more practical for me to gather five leaders and pour myself into those men and then let them take over those groups. That's much more practical, much more helpful. And really, that's part of the idea of what Paul is encouraging Timothy. But we're not all pastors, but we all have some part to play in disciple making. In developing followers of Christ so that this chain continues. So that the gospel ministry moves forward, not just hunkered down in hardship, but expands even in the midst of hard times, even in the midst of suffering. And oftentimes the church, the universal church, grows in difficulties. In China, there is great oppression of the church. But from the reports and understanding that I'm getting, it's growing crazy. How many people are being born again, and you've got these house churches, underground churches, and it seems that almost the more Satan tries to oppress and squelch, the more it grows. And that's part of what we do. We don't just hunker down. We move forward in this great commission, in the idea of entrusting the gospel to others so that they can take it in themselves and then do the same. One commentator said, entrusting here, this committing the gospel was not simply a matter of a tap on the shoulder. It would require Timothy to teach and to model the faith over a time. This might take years. You might only be able in your lifetime to really see one person who understands, and maybe that's your calling, is in your lifetime you disciple one person. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's lots of people. And it does seem like some people are very good at this. They have all these people that they're talking to and all these people they're ministering to. And it's like, oh man, how do you even have the time to do that? I don't even know my name sometimes. So we're all made differently. We're all have a different abilities, but we're all called in some way to be involved in this ministry, whether you're going through a hard time or not. It doesn't excuse you. Paul is in probably one of the worst conditions, worst hard times that we can imagine. And what is he doing currently? He is writing a letter to his protege, his disciple, encouraging him to continue ministry. And encouraging him to not just continue, but to pour himself into others so that they can continue. Your difficulty does not excuse you from this ministry. As much as you would like it to. As much as you would like to just, you know what, I don't have the space to minister. I just want to be ministered to. That's not our calling. We suffer, we go through hard times, and we do that by the grace of God, but we continue to move forward. This calling is for Timothy to engage in this process of leading and developing leaders and disciples and other disciple makers. I have in my office, and I brought it in here, this plant. Now, it doesn't look very good because I'm not very good at this. And I need to actually probably repot this thing. I don't know if I'm giving it too much water, not enough water, what it is. This is called Mother of Thousands, or Mother of a Thousand, or something like that. I don't know. Anybody know about this plant? One. Fantastic. Let me instruct you on what this plant does. Most of the time, if it's healthy, this is not super healthy, but these leaves are covered with little seedlings. This one right here has this. I don't know if you can see little furry things. Each one of these is a plant. This right here is one plant. All this has to do is fall down, and I have about three that are actually in this pot right here that are growing from this. Each of these leaves is supposed to have just covered. Each of these grooves has another plant that grows right out of it. It has roots that are already growing, and it just falls down and grows. This is really the picture of discipleship. This is a natural thing for this plant to do. You don't have to coerce this plant. Maybe I should coerce it a little bit with some fertilizer or something. You don't have to convince it to make little ones. It just does that. And that really is the way Christians are supposed to be. You don't have to convince a Christian to make other Christians. That's just what we do. And for some reason, we do have to remind ourselves. We don't always do it naturally because we get so turned into self and preoccupied with what we have going on. And we may have some stuff going on. I know you have some stuff going on. But that doesn't mean that we turn off the Great Commission. That doesn't mean that we turn off this chain of thousands, millions of people over the centuries who have continued this ministry. We, by the grace of God that strengthens us, that motivates us, we encourage somebody else. We teach somebody else another aspect of ministry, and we continue to move forward. The gospel ministry marches on even in the midst of suffering.